and you're listening to It's All About Food. It's May 16, 2012, and in the next hour we get to talk about my favorite subject, food, and it has so many impacts on our everyday life here on planet Earth. Food. Who would think that every morsel we put in our mouth makes a difference? And it could be a good, positive thing, or a not-so-good thing. That's what we talk about here. And what I try and do is offer up lots of interesting information from authors, chefs, doctors, nutritionists, athletes, and just people who are interested in food and its impacts on health, environment, and the treatment of animals. And I learn a lot here. I hope you do, too. There are lots of different ways to look at food. Certainly the most obvious is, how does food nourish our bodies? Does it nourish our bodies? And there are lots of issues related to food. Do we have enough food? Do we have too much food? Do we have too little food? And then, of course, how does the food get to our plates? It's such a fascinating, complicated issue, and I don't do it enough, but I encourage everyone from time to time, if only on Thanksgiving Day or on other days during the year, think about what you're eating and where it came from. It's a long, complicated story, from seed to growing the plant, the people involved in growing and harvesting, the people involved in packaging and transporting. And then, of course, if you choose to eat animal products, which we don't really promote on this show, there's a lot of things that go on there that are not really very pleasant. And they affect the environment and all life on Earth. Okay, so we got some fun things to talk about today. And my first guest is Ruby Roth. She's an artist, designer, writer living in Los Angeles. She's vegan since 2003 and was teaching art in an after-school program when the children's interest in healthy foods and veganism first inspired her to write her first acclaimed book, That's Why We Don't Eat Animals, which gained international attention and garnered multiple translations. Well, she's got a new book, Vegan is Love, Having Heart and Taking Action, and it came out last month, just in time for Earth Day. And she notes, every day is Earth Day when you're vegan. I really agree with that. Complementing her degrees in art and American studies, Ruby Roth has researched animal agriculture, health, nutrition, and the benefits of a plant-based diet for nearly a decade. She continues to share her special brand of gentle candor as a vegan consultant and speaker. Ruby, welcome to It's All About Food.
Thank you. Nice to speak with you again.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this next half hour. I like the way you put it in your bio, gentle candor.
Thank you.
That's what it's all about, gentle candor, and you really do that so well.
Thank you. It's really about making this information manageable for a child's capacity without sugarcoating or avoiding the truth.
This seems to be such a really difficult issue. So one of the things that I say very often is, don't read your press, weigh it. And I think you've been getting a bit of attention, some of it positive and some of it negative. I watched your interview, what was it, on Fox News, I think?
Uh-huh. And with the child psychologist?
Yes. You know, how does that, yes. You know, I just want to take a step back here and say, what do they call a doctor who graduates in the last of his class?
What's that?
A doctor.
Yeah.
You don't have to be that great a student. You know, you can be the last in your class. It doesn't mean you know everything. And then there are some that do quite well and know a lot, and yet they've got these blinders on and don't want to see the truth. And when I saw that interview with this psychologist who clearly was clueless.
Yeah, I'm positive he didn't even see the book.
And
he
probably didn't
see
the book.
Represent.
Yes. Well, you looked really, really lovely on that show, by the way.
Thank you. It went exactly as I planned.
Well, one of the things that I liked, where can people see that, by the way?
I have links to it on my website, WeDon'tEatAnimals.com.
WeDon'tEatAnimals.com. I definitely recommend checking that out because it is educational and amusing.
And I mean, I think the most fascinating part of this whole controversy and outrage about the book is that by calling it controversial, we're admitting on the national level that what we do to animals is scary, too scary to even talk about with our kids. So to me, that says people know, but they want to remain willfully ignorant and impose that ignorance on their children. And I think that the path to a greener future relies on engaging a new generation in learning how to eat healthfully and consciously.
What I love about this book, you know, I don't think it's necessarily for only children. This is a book
Yes.
for everyone. It is simply just a few more than 20 pages. It's beautifully illustrated, and you use very little language to convey a lot of difficult things that are going on today, and for anyone to read it and not get it.
Thank you. Our motto about the book is so easy, even adults can understand.
That's
it's
right.
It's a really basic introduction to what's going on and how our choices on a daily basis affect the public realm. And at its core, it's really about democracy, supply and demand, and engaging ourselves in the public realm.
So a lot of people, they don't have time, and they're not, well, I think people just don't want to know, because once they know, then they realize they're culpable, and then what do?
Well, there's a lot of fear around veganism for people who are unfamiliar with it or don't realize that nations of people throughout history have thrived and survived on plant-based diets. So I understand the questions that come up, but at this point in time, there are answers to any question anybody may have.
You know, you bring up an important word, fear. And, you know, the older I get, the more I realize how many people are operating or reacting to some amount of fear that they have in their lives. And I want to say it's really scary. I'm not someone who has a lot of fear, but I know more and more people that do. And as a result, they just act in very, very strange ways. And that's why it's so important when a child is young to empower them with information, let them know the truth. Because when you find out the truth later, after you know you've been lied to and covered up to, I think it really takes away a strong foundation or a shaky foundation, makes the foundation shaky.
Well, we spend years and years of our youth being indoctrinated with the normalization of eating meat and dairy. So when you tell an adult who's unfamiliar with veganism and its history that we should abandon the standard American diet, that seems unheard of for many people. It's also important for people to realize that when we talk about veganism, we're not talking about the standard American diet minus meat and dairy. We are talking about a different pyramid whose nutrients are more dense, they're more bioavailable, and they come free from the harmful side effects that we see meat and dairy causing. I mean, studies continue to show the link between consuming animal products and chronic disease, and I think that any teacher in a school across America can tell you that their kids are showing signs of lack of nutrition, whether it's lack of energy or the inability to concentrate or temper tantrums, or everyone has ADD now. Mm-hmm. I think that a transition to a better diet would help everybody across the board.
I'm sure this drives you nuts because it drives me nuts. I forget where it was, but it was some mother's blog site that was mentioning your book and her concerns with it. And something that you read over and over again, a vegan diet can be nutritious, but it has to be well planned, and the parents have to monitor and make sure the child's eating the right food. And yet can we just leave out vegan and just say diet? Because most kids today just eat junk. And why aren't people saying that, well, what about your children? They're not vegan, but they're not eating anything nutritious.
Right. Well, we are simply changing the repertoire of what we eat. It's not any more difficult. It's not any more scary. And any responsible parent will look into the proper ways to transition and really find out what it means to be a vegan, not just, you know, eliminate meat and dairy from the standard American.
Right. Now, you have a daughter?
A stepdaughter, yes.
And how old is she?
She is seven. She's born and raised vegan.
Right. And what does she think of your latest book?
She loves it. She was part of the process, and we had a lot of conversations throughout the whole thing. I bounced a lot of ideas off of her and asked her questions and for her thoughts. It's completely normalized in our household, and she's very strong in her veganism, and I haven't seen her be swayed by anybody.
Right. And
she's also, let me just mention for people who have questions, she's in the top percentiles of growth and mental development. So no issues there. She's very healthy.
Well, that's good to hear. And I'm not surprised to hear it either. okay. So there's some really lovely artwork in your book.
Thank you.
And it's what do they say? A picture tells a thousand words, things like that. Mm. But I'm looking at the page about zoos, and so you have a large cell, I guess. Mm-hmm. What would you call it? It's kind of with the people.
Enclosure.
Yeah, the shadow of the people on top looking down. Very powerful and yet so simple.
Yeah, the giraffe enclosure.
Yeah. And now, of course, you go beyond food here and talk and simply show in the book how we exploit animals for so many things, racing, hunting, bullfights and rodeos. And the circus is one place. I mean, those of us who know and research or just look into what goes on behind the circuses, the ones like Ringling Brother who have animals and elephants and really treat them so poorly. And then other circuses like Cirque du Soleil can be just as entertaining, if not more so, and you see the incredible things that humans with free choice can do with their bodies.
Exactly, and I think when we give kids the information they need to make educated choices, then they choose wisely. And I think if any kid knows what their participation in the zoo or circus really means, the animal circuses, then they'd be happy to go see a show where we know the creatures love to perform, like people in Cirque du Soleil.
I think you're really breaking some ground with your books.
Thank you.
I'm wondering, outside of the vegan community, what kind of feedback have you gotten?
It's been interesting because I've heard from a broad range of people, from military men to militant vegans and moms and just people around the world in all different countries. And it's a range of responses from, you know, really intense hate mail to meat eaters who saw the Fox interview and just were ashamed by Fox's presentation. People who are intrigued by the conversation and have thought a little bit about cutting down on meat and dairy, but something I've said has sparked further interest. So I'm thrilled that there's a conversation happening, whether there's opposition or support. When I was a little kid, I don't think the word vegan was in existence in my community. And now, relatively short time later, we know enough about it to argue, you know, so.
Right.
I think that's a big step, you know, that people are aware of the word and we're planting seeds.
Well, I remember the books that I read as a child, and I'm sure that children, many children are still reading similar books, although I think on the whole children's books have gotten a lot more creative and a lot better at sharing some really important messages. But, you know, we still have that notion that old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O, and, there, you know, the animals are out there grazing, and we take care of them, and it's like a family affair, and they give us milk and eggs, and there's, I don't remember much the story about slaughtering them and eating them later, but,
Yeah. That's a very powerful image in, I think, all of America's mind.
Mm-hmm.
The happy cow, the happy farmer, the happy field. And when we question that, and you only need to scratch the surface of that to find the corruption and the destruction that we are inflicting not only on animals, but the environment. In the land on which we raise these animals and how our choices affect people across the world. You know, we're raising 65 billion animals around the world every year and feeding them grain instead of the 1 billion people in the world who are starving. So there's a lot to learn in all of these issues to replace, you know, this idyllic idea we have with the truth.
Yeah. Now, one of the, I remember talking, I think it was to Sandra Steingraber, who writes about environmental issues, and she talked about how she likes to explain what's going on with the environment, the good things, the bad things, to her children, and then explains what she's doing to help make a difference. And she said that rather than scaring the children, knowing that there are problems in the world, she was actually empowering them, letting them know that there are adults out there that are working towards handling the problem, and that when they get older, they can do their part to solve the problems. And
exactly, and that's a point that has been left out on my TV appearances, that every page on this book has a positive affirmation about action we can take, and that is the reason that children are not afraid of this book, and it's not scary for them, because the most important lesson is that we don't have to fear anything that we have the power to change, and I believe that we don't have to wait to grow older to exert that power. My book is about things anybody and everybody can do on a daily basis, from our food to our clothing to the way we spend our dollars and what we choose as entertainment.
Amen. But, you know, there are a lot of kids that are living in fear, and that word fear again comes up because they grow up and they still have this fear, and it affects them in so many negative ways as adults. And so it is so important to empower kids to know, yeah, life is challenging, there's going to be problems, but you are going to be a part of the solution. Go out and do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And by avoiding the truth or sugarcoating it, I think we're actually hindering what our children are capable of and hindering our own progression for a greener and more sustainable society.
Right. And another aggravating thing, you said this book, or I read this book, came out around Earth Day, April 22nd, which happens to be my birthday. Something to celebrate. And it always frustrates me on Earth Day because we see all these recommendations, especially geared towards kids, because it's a good opportunity to have something to engage children, and the projects that are recommended from websites and in schools, and the things that they recommend aren't bad, but they're not the really most important issues.
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly. I see so many books that tell kids, that have positive messages about you can change the world and you can be anything you want to be. But even with a lot of these green programs, they're leaving out food and a plant-based diet, or at least moving towards a plant-based diet. And by leaving that out, we are leaving out the most far-reaching, impactful thing that any one person can do. Because by making vegan choices, we can reach every major industry and every corner of the earth. That's a lot more effective than talking about turning off light switches and flipping off the faucet while we brush.
That's right. The thing that I'm kind of harping on these days is the powerful impact of marketing and advertising on what we choose to eat. Our eating trends definitely reflect our advertising trends, and it's criminal that over $11 billion is going into food and beverage and restaurant and junk food advertising, and two orders of magnitude less goes into healthy food.
So I mean, 75% of government subsidies go to meat and dairy, while less than 0.5% goes to fruits and vegetables. So when people talk about my book as being brainwashing and propaganda, we need to look at who's really in charge and who's really propagating a given doctrine about what we're eating.
Yeah, people talk about, you know, where we want to tax sodas and take junk food out of schools, and people say we need free choice and we should be able to decide, and they have no idea how subtly they have been manipulated to want foods that are not healthy for them.
I mean, as soon as you scratch the surface, it's not even subtle. I mean, these are calculated, organized partnerships between our government, the Department of Education, the USDA, pharmaceutical companies, big agriculture. I mean, if people knew the degree of collusion, then the outrage would really be directed at the industries and not at a children's book about alternative choices.
And what about, I know a lot of parents struggle with what their children eat, and it gets harder as they get older. Well, your stepdaughter's 7. That could be. How is she as an eater?
Oh, she's great. She's, I mean, we're on a plant-based diet of a lot of raw foods and superfoods, and her health is just off the charts. But I think that a lot of parents, meat eaters and whoever, would wish that their kids would eat more fruits and vegetables. And I think that by looking into a plant-based diet and giving kids the information they need to make educated choices, there's a much likelier chance that a child will start eating healthier and be interested if they understand why. And they understand, okay, we're not going to eat junk food. Here's the reasons why, and these are the better choices. So there was a meat-eating mother who wrote to me and said her child is picky enough, and if they were to come in contact with my book at school, it would just drive her over the top. And my answer was really that coming into contact with the idea of veganism might help her child eat better.
Mm-hmm.
It might have a positive influence on getting this kid to eat more fruits and vegetables.
Well, one of the problems, and it's a big problem, is the parents themselves are not good eaters. They've been totally marketed and influenced, and many people don't know where their kitchens are. They don't know how to make healthy food. They're kind of all overwhelmed in their schedules with work and taking care of their kids, and they want what they think is convenient, even though they don't realize that preparing simple foods can be easier and more convenient. And so sometimes kids come home and say, I want to eat these foods, and the parents are so overwhelmed because they don't know what to do.
Right, and I think that's an honest fear, and I understand that. If a kid comes home saying they want to eat healthier and the parent just doesn't know what to make, that can be overwhelming, but the change doesn't have to come overnight. And the transition, when we focus on all that can be gained from veganism and a plant-based lifestyle, from health to the environment to our politics, then the transition is really joyful and not overwhelming.
Have you had an opportunity to turn around a really angry person and have them see your side?
You know, I don't really engage the hate mail that comes through because I think it's coming from such a different place. And over email, I just can't deal with it. But if someone has serious inquiries and really wants to know and has an interesting question, of course, I think most people just need the facts and need to be turned on to something that they can witness with their own eyes to be able to understand where I'm coming from.
Right. Well, and where do people find your book? So, because, you know, some people find it and then discover that it's not what they expected it to be.
It's everywhere where books are sold internationally. It's in many libraries as well, so people can request their librarian to bring it in if they don't want to commit.
Right. Well, I would love to see it in all schools and all libraries, and I think it should be required reading for all adults.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any plans for another book after this one?
I do have more plans. I have some ideas brewing, so people should stay tuned.
So there's more loving stuff out there that's going to piss people off.
Yes, I plan on lots of it.
What's amazing is that just the crazy, ironic contrast, especially during that program on Fox News. But if they see you and hear your gentle voice and look at you and see how lovely you are, and you just want to spread the love, and people's blood is boiling, it's just the most comical, crazy contrast.
It is, and I hope that most people realize that when they're talking to a passionate vegan, what they might call self-righteousness is actually just an urgency we feel to take care of everybody and look at the well-being of all people, including the people that we're talking to. So, you know, I wish everybody that I talk to the best, and just find the joy in spreading my message.
Okay. So what's the website, again, that people can find more about you and your book?
It is WeDon'tEatAnimals.com, and from there they can get to my Facebook and Twitter and my blog, where we write about all kinds of stuff, from politics to food to animals. So it's a good resource for anybody.
Okay. Thank you so much for talking to me. Thank you for writing this book, and thank you for being a strong warrior. I don't know that warrior is the right word. A peaceful warrior,
I like it. I'll
at
take
least.
It.
Peaceful one, spreading such an important message. Love. Vegan is love. Read the book. Thank you for joining me on It's All About Food.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm Karen Hartglass, and please visit responsibleeatingandliving.com. If you're wondering how to do this crazy vegan thing, there's lots of information there for you. And we will be right at responsibleeatingandliving.com. If you're wondering how to do this crazy vegan thing, there's lots of information there for you. And we will be right back, and we're going to be talking about white bread with Aaron Bobrow-Strain. Stay with us.